this. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A wonderful weekend. It feels like summer is here, finally. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo on the board, as per usual. And we will shepherd you through these days of you can live vicariously through us, even though we're not in the outdoors either. We can all dream about being in the outdoors. So one thing they can't take away, hopefully. No, that's not true. All good news. I hear we're about to step outside, Stephen, pretty soon.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Very cool. I'm looking forward to that.
No kidding. And no more bedroom while I watch you on the camera anymore, if that happens.
That sounds pretty weird, Ange.
So let me explain. When Stephen is working from home and we've been doing this webcasting thing, there's a bed behind him the whole time that I talk to him. It's unnerving to know that he's working and his bed is like 2 feet away. You know? Anyways. Just thought I would share that with the audience.
Yeah, share it to the world.
I'm that kind of guy. You know? wonderful week ahead, I'm sure. And we have a wonderful program today. Before we get into that, of course, let's talk about, why not? Let's talk about the Mercury Fishing Canada giveaway for just a moment, if we could. It's happening right now on fishingcanada.com for those of you who might not know. Although, judging by the numbers that are doing this, you probably all know, so I'm probably wasting my time, but I'll do it anyways, because that's what I get paid to do. There, I feel better. Ooh, I got a bit of a head rush on that one. Fishcan.com, you go there, and you enter the contest. There's a couple of them. The first one that you'll see is it's been going on now for a while. Every month, actually for the last, we could say almost 2 years.
Well,
right?
That's true, yeah.
Certainly a year and change. We've been giving away a Mercury motor a month, every month, since last March, over a year ago. And every month, on the end of the month, we have a virtual draw from a virtual drum, from the virtual ballots that you've been dropping in there, and somebody wins. And yesterday, we had our virtual draw, and the winner this month is Doug Atkinson from Sundridge, Ontario. We haven't had an Ontario for a couple of months, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Right, we've been out west, we've been out east.
Which is good.
Yeah. Doug Atkinson, that name is familiar. I think he's a regular.
You're thinking of Brian Atkin.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No, Doug Atkinson from Sundridge. He's, for some reason, that name is, he's been calling in on the radio show for a number of years. It just seems very familiar. Anyways, we'll find out. Anyways, congratulations to Doug from Sundridge, Ontario. Now, the interesting thing is he entered 125 ballots.
Yes.
In order to win, which just goes along with what I've been saying every single week here, that if you want to win a motor, and who does not want to win an outboard motor? Let's be perfectly honest with ourselves.
True.
You know, who does not want a Mercury motor? Everybody does. And so what you have to do to up your chances, like Doug did, is you have to enter every 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure Doug, like many people that are entering the contest, probably have a reminder every day, you know, at whatever time of day, to go and take that 2 minutes and 10 seconds that it's going to take to enter a ballot in the drum. Do that, and you will be rewarded just like Doug Atkinson of Sundridge, Ontario did. While you are there, it might be worth your while to also enter into the other contest that's running on fishingcanada.com, and that is the boat motor trailer contest.
That's a big one too.
Woohoo! Boat motor trailer. I just like saying that. Boat motor trailer contest. And it is a beautiful Princecraft Yukon aluminum boat, complete with a 20 horsepower Mercury EFI engine and the trailer, a custom trailer made just for it. Just you back up. When you win it, you just back up, you drop her on your vehicle. And
take a photo, and off you go.
And off you go. Bob's your uncle. Yeah, enter into that one every 24 hours. These are all free, folks. There's no charge. You know, people who complain, nothing's for free. This is free. There is no charge. You go there, you enter, you have a chance to win. Costs you nothing but a bit of time. That time is about 2 minutes.
Exactly.
That's worth it for me, that's for sure. And that's it. And then have at it. That boat, motor, trailer is worth a ton of dough. And it's going to be drawn actually December at Christmas. What a great Christmas gift that is going to make for somebody.
I think we have to wrap it up, though.
I think you should be part of the gift. We'll wrap you up in it. How's that?
Pop out.
Yeah, you can
surprise.
Pop out. There you go. There you go.
Who's that?
All right. Yeah, that's all happening at fishcanada.com. Please go. This week's guests, let's not forget, we have a show to do. Our good friend, Ted, my mouth's not working today. Is that normal?
Did you go drinking last night?
Yes.
Yeah? That's probably why.
Yeah. Didn't go out, I drank at home.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think I have a problem. I mean, is it a problem if I drink at home?
No. Oh. I drink at home.
I only drink on two occasions, by the way. People just
quarantines and
no. When I'm by myself and when I'm with somebody else, it's the only time that I'll have a drink.
So what's in that coffee there, Ange?
This one?
Yeah.
Just a little cream
and Bailey's.
Nope. Don't do that. I'm at work. Ted Putnam, who is the owner of Hawk Lake Lodge in northwestern Ontario, will be joining us. This lodge, by the way, I know for those of you who are familiar with the name, we've been talking about it for a couple of years. It's an award-winning, all-inclusive lodge, probably the best. Oh, man, I hate saying this because there's a couple more that are close to it, but it's probably the best walleye drive-to lodge. I'm being very careful with this. I'm thinking.
Well, you said it on the live stream a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So.
It's certainly the best drive-to lodge in Canada. How's that? There, I had to be careful. I got it all. I think it's correct now. It is a trophy fishery only. They have trophy walleye and bass.
Ooh.
There. One of the reasons is that Ted, and it's self-imposed, it's not a government thing. Ted has a total catch-release policy. Not a single fish is ever killed, unless there's an accidental kill, obviously. But there's not a single fish that is kept from Hawk Lake.
Very
none.
Cool.
Zero. And it shows. It's one of the healthiest populations of both pike and bass I've ever seen in my life. And Ted runs an award-winning lodge there called Hawk Lake, and we're going to get him on to talk to us about the difficulties. Now, Ted is an American owner, and we're going to talk about the difficulties of dealing with the uncertainties of border openings.
That's true, because he's probably in the U.S. right now.
Yeah, he can't get to work, right? So we're going to talk to Ted about that and, of course, his lodge and how this COVID-19 is affecting him and what's the outlook, how he feels about the future, et cetera. All good things we'll talk with him. Now, it seems that this is not the first time. It happened the last time we were in a bit of a lull in terms of our economy, last time we had a bit of a recession. It seems that when the economy drops, the health of the planet goes up.
Yes.
It seems to be connected somehow.
Which makes sense.
You know, the economy is a bust, and Mother Earth says, ah.
I can breathe.
I can breathe. So we were wondering how we're doing now. I mean, this could be the drop of all drops in terms of economy, because it's global, and it's not money-driven, it's health-driven. So totally different set of rules. So we thought we'd see how we're faring. Joining us a little bit later on is Chris St. Clair, Canadian meteorologist and TV broadcaster with the Weather Network. He'll join us to let us know how we're doing, how the economy, we know how the economy is doing. We just need to know how the weather and Mother Earth is doing in terms of health.
Yeah.
So he'll fill us in on that. And then an interesting interview. I'm looking forward to this. The mayor of Kawartha Lakes, Andy Leatham, will join us. And I know myself included, we've all been talking about the importance of staying at home. Don't go to the cottage. The local communities, and I'm very guilty of this. The local communities cannot take the added pressure of outsiders coming in at a time like this.
Makes sense.
The infrastructure isn't built for it. They won't have food. They won't have, like, doom and gloom. Myself included. I've been spewing doom and gloom about this.
Mm-hmm.
And some other community leaders, the mayors of other communities have gone public with that same message. Obviously, the premier and his staff are saying those things. Well, here's a gentleman, a mayor of a jurisdiction, Kawartha Lakes, that says, hey, forget that. Come on down. So I'm curious. I'm very curious to have him on the air and talk to us because it's a fresh, new perspective. And we certainly haven't heard that on this program during this pandemic. So we invited Andy to join us to give us his point of view. What else? That's it. We got Big Brother Reno's going to join us.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Yeah, he was on yesterday.
Well, not on this show, but he was on yesterday.
Exactly.
For those of you listening that are fans of the Fishing Canada show, you remember Big Brother Reno was a staple on the series for years. And then he decided that he'd had enough, and off he went. And lo and behold, he's going to be joining us a little later on this morning. So we look forward to that. A lot of ground to cover, my friends. But first, a little behind-the-scenes look at Canada's nationally televised Fishing Canada show on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast to coast. Yeah, baby, we're everywhere. Well, sort of. He's everywhere. He being Mr. Bowman, Peter Bowman, who is hosting this episode. Solo. He's flying solo. He is heading to Brookie Country this week, the Algoma region of Ontario, chasing down big brook trout, speckled trout, for those of you who don't know what a brook trout is. And it's an amazing program, a lot of great vistas, a lot of great tips. For speckled trout fishing and trout fishing in general, you don't want to miss it. It's called Richie's Back Lake Specs, airing as we speak on Global Television Network.
If you don't see that, go to www.fishingcanada.com, click on episode schedule, the next broadcast date's right there, or check it out on Global BC Channel at 1 o'clock.
That was a preemie.
You look like you were ready.
That was a preemie. I had a half a sentence left to go.
Sound like you were just like about to go.
I know, I was.
And I'm like, okay, he's catching me off guard here because I'm doing 20 different things at once.
Oh, I know. Poor baby.
Go ahead.
Poor baby.
I'm trying to help you out. Go ahead. Stop talking now.
That's all happening on fishingcanada.com. Of course, when you're there checking out the Richie's Backlake Specs.
Yep.
You could also enter the contest, the Burke 2.5 giveaway and the Princecraft boat motor trailer contest giveaway. Go there, enter often, and win. Whew.
You done?
I'm done. Uh-oh. That music means 2 weeks in a row, Mr. Schlorf has gone AWOL on us again. It's hunting season. You can tell when it's hunting season, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That music tells us that we have the inspector in the house, Chris Whaley, inspector with the Ontario Provincial Police. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Angelo. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you. Yourself, how are you coping? What's going on?
I'm coping very well. Yeah, everybody here is healthy and safe, and we're doing what we can to do our part and following the rules. Listen, I got a question for you before we get started, though. Like, Fishing Canada is such a great show, and I just heard you do the prop up for it there.
Yes.
But you say coast to coast to coast to coast. That's four coasts.
Yes.
Can you name those coasts for me? Because I can only picture three.
Well, okay, that's because you don't have the vast resources that I have here at hand to
crack
check.
Research
hey,
team.
That's right.
I'm all ears. Straighten me out.
Well, we have a northern coast, you know. Or did you not know that?
Well, that's only one.
You know, they found the passage. There's an actual passage that goes right over top of Canada. It goes to the other side of the world. Northwest Passage, I believe they call that.
Is that a separate coast?
We sure it is. Look at pull a map out. I mean, I could have thrown an easy one.
That's a north coast.
Yes.
So there's an east and a west. That's three.
Okay. Well, I'm counting.
Southeast?
No. See, you guys missed the whole thing. I call the South Coast a coast.
Okay.
Because anything south of our border, they're lost out at sea, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? So that's the coast okay. down there. All right?
Hey, you're the boss. You are right. the boss. If you want there to be four coasts,
and
you can have five if you want.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not done. I got coasts I haven't even used yet. I got coasts. Okay, how about James Bay? How about the Hudson Bay? That whole area. That could be considered a coast, couldn't it? It's sort of north.
It'd be the northeast coast?
Yeah, it's a northeast coast. Let's be honest. That's a good one. You know? We got all kinds of coasts. I could go on forever. But I
know you could.
Hey, what's this 2 weeks in a row? Schlorfy hunting. He obviously didn't do well last week.
No, you know what? He did get one last week. Yeah, this week he's out with his young lad. They've gone out together to see if young Josh can get one too. But he did get one last week.
Wow! Mark that down. Because first of all, I need to see evidence of that.
I got a text message from him.
Oh, you got how many text messages you and not me?
Because he likes me.
Oh, that's true.
But let's be honest, it's not because of Brad's hunting prowess. It was the dumbest turkey that ever walked the face of the planet.
You said that, not me. Speaking of dumb turkeys, I want to talk to you about, I've been reading some reports regarding animals wandering out on roads and stuff, and a lot of contact being made by people and animals, but I got a whole bunch of questions to ask you about that. But first, my good friend, I do have to take a break. So if you would just sit tight with me, be patient, and we will come back on the other side and find out what those dumb animals are doing out there. More Journal after this on Shadir Goway. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Yes, we're coming to you live. How cool is that? Angela Biola over there. We've got Stephen Labadie over there. We got Derek Brande over there. All of us in separate parts of the world. It's kind of cool.
Ontario.
It's a world. Sure. You can argue with me, too. Not enough I had to explain my coast theory.
I'm not. I just said sure.
Go ahead. On the line with us, speaking of coast theory, our good friend, Inspector with the OPP, Chris Whaley, playing it safe, joining us this morning in lieu of our regular safety expert, Bradley Schlorf, who is out hunting with his son today. And apparently he ran into a dumb turkey last week. And actually caught
so dumb, so dumb you almost don't want to eat that one.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. So I'm reading things about here about collisions with animals, wildlife being up recently. Is this any truth to this rumor?
Well, we definitely see an increase in animal car collisions at this time of year. Anecdotally, I've heard some reasons are, you know, that the animals will come out to the roadside because there's, you know, salt out at the roadside at this time of year. There's new growth between the tree lines and even just trying to get away from the bugs. I haven't seen any studies on that, but certainly anecdotally, that seems to be true. With the decrease in traffic because of the COVID restrictions, our animal collisions are down this year by about 22%. But we've had over 1,800 collisions so far that involve animals just in OPP patrolled areas, and 30 of those were injury related, usually with, you know, the bigger animals, deer, moose and bear. Obviously the chances of being injured go up significantly, they are out there. But the big thing to avoid that is obviously a couple tips that everybody would have heard before: keep your high beams on, but most importantly, keep scanning. Scan those roads from tree line to tree line. And you have to do it like it's your primary focus. So people, you know, they get in the car, they put on their podcast, they're listening to Ange from last week, and then they just kind of dial out. They zone out, they put it on autopilot, and they stop scanning. You have to scan. Sometimes you even have to think to yourself out loud. I'm scanning the ditches for animals. I'm scanning for road signs. That's the way you avoid a car versus animal collision, or a cyclist or a pedestrian. You have to scan like it's your primary task when you're driving. You know, you have to collect enough good information while you're driving to make good decisions.
Yeah, I can't tell people just how fast all of this happens, that people who've never experienced it before, how quick things happen when you're driving along, you know, backcountry road. And like you just said, you might be tuned out. You might be focused on whatever it is. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and it's like lightning fast, you see a deer like coming out. And before you know it, like it's just instant. It's there in the middle of the road.
And yeah, just, and I'm really... I'm glad you used that phrase, Ange. It came out of nowhere because I, you probably recall I used to do driver training for the OPP at one point, and I used to hear that phrase from our officers. I've heard it from the members of the public when I've been investigating collisions. It came out of nowhere. And I think if you could rewind that scene like it was a movie and watch it from a movie camera perspective, you'd see it didn't come out of nowhere. It seemed like it came out of nowhere because you weren't scanning. You didn't have the opportunity to focus your attention on it and then react to it ahead of time. The biggest problem with not avoiding collisions is that we think driving is easy. Everybody thinks it's very easy. It's a really complicated skill. But because we go, you know, a stretch without crashing or getting a ticket, we all convince ourselves that we're good drivers. So that scanning piece is so important. And, you know, especially with certain animals this time of year, they have babies. Deer usually travel in groups. If you see one deer up ahead, you shouldn't be going, oh, look at the deer, and focusing on the deer. That should be your reminder to scan the rest of the road from tree line to tree line, because it's not the one on the road you have to worry about. It's the one that's coming behind them.
So you didn't do all of that, and all of a sudden, here it is that the big collision stares you right in the face. What's the best thing to do? Is there, you know, the right thing to do, best practice kind of thing?
Yeah, and in terms of avoiding that, like now you're faced with the decision.
Yeah.
It depends. If it's a raccoon or it's a partridge, run them over. You know, tighten the grip on your steering wheel, take your foot off the gas. Don't necessarily slam on the brakes. You may end up getting struck from behind. If it's a larger mammal, I still wouldn't recommend swerving. It's so situation dependent. If you think you can slam on the brakes and take a bit of the shoulder to get around them, then that's a game time decision. But let's say you have the collision. What do you do now? Well, obviously, if there's anybody injured, call 911. If the animal is injured, call 911, because we want the police to show up so that they can deal with that humanely as possible. We don't want you to approach the animal, because if you spook it and it runs back out into traffic, maybe causes a subsequent crash. Yeah. We don't want that either. We want to deal with those things humanely as possible. We want to make sure that people get the help that they need. If the collision damage is more than $1,000, it's the law that you must call the police. So if you hit a partridge and it busts your grill, you don't have to call the police for that. If you hit a moose and it takes the quarter off your vehicle, then obviously you have to call the police so that can be reported.
Chris, what's the law on taking the animal? Let's just say you hit a deer, and it's dead. It's on the side of the road. What's the law say that about that? Can you take that home and harvest it and consume it?
Yeah, short answer is yes, you can. There are rules around that. So the best advice I can give people is, you know, if you were to hit a deer and the police show up, they can give you advice on what to do next. If you hit a deer and there's not that much damage, but you've killed the animal, you can take the deer. Make sure you go back to Ontario.ca, the government's website, and find out what you have to do next to register it. You have to register the animal. And it depends on certain criteria that determines whether you have to register or not. Large mammals, like I said, deer, moose, bear, you have to register. Predators, you have to, or sorry, birds of prey, you have to register. Hawks, turkey, vultures, owls, some owls you have to register. Some fur-bearing mammals you have to register as well. A wolf, a bobcat, coyotes. You can find online where you need to register those, but short answer is yes.
And so they can call the OPP. Let's just say somebody hits an animal. They're not sure what to do. Should they call the OPP? Is there a line they call, or how should they handle that?
Well, you can get advice by calling the OPP. Don't call 911. That's right. That getting that piece of information isn't life or death, but the 888-310-1122 line, that works anywhere in the province. Okay. It's always good to explain to them where you had that collision, and then they can give you advice on the next steps to take to report it online. So you can register that and keep that roadkill if you decide to.
Okay, perfect. Well, I mean, obviously, if right now we don't have to worry about that, but if we should start getting out of our caves and moving again, it's good information to have, and I appreciate you joining us this morning and sharing that with us.
Always a pleasure, Ange.
We will talk to you soon, my friend. Take care. Chris Whaley, inspector with the Ontario Provincial Police, playing it safe in lieu of Bradley Schlorf, who normally sits in that segment.
Yes.
There we go.